So there it is. It's E for effort, and there actually is a question mark after that. And it does say reaching new heights in your walk with God. And so, again, that question mark that you can't see, we'll be sort of addressing that throughout. And again, we always say, oh, the E for effort. You know, you're going to have to put forth the effort, of course. But there is a question mark there just to let you know. And let's see if this actually works. There we go. Now you see the question mark. And so what I wanted to talk about is the effort piece, but also I wanted to think about people today in our society that we considered great. And this is from a secular view, not necessarily from a Christian view. For example, ESPN for the last 2 weeks, they've been focusing on Michael Jordan. It's his 50th birthday, but he's been considered probably the greatest basketball player of all time. Also, there's like Steve Jobs. He passed away just recently, of course, but he was, you know, the Apple guru. He built a huge technology giant company. There's Rachel Ray. She was on the Food Network, but she built her way up until now. She has her own magazine, and she's hooked up with Oprah, and so she's very successful. There's tons of other examples. We can think of people here in our community, smart businesswomen and men that have raised their business up to prominence. We can even think of Billy Graham. So there's Christian examples as well. And again, it's a little bit small, but I'll read it to you. So think of those individuals, and you might have some people in your own mind. But what made them great, or why are they so good in their profession? And so maybe was it their raw ability and their talent? Definitely. I mean, think of Michael Jordan. If he wasn't talented, he wouldn't be a great basketball player. Also, interest in their skill. Sure, going back to the Michael Jordan thing, he'd be definitely interested in basketball. Maybe a little bit of luck, too. Maybe he just fell in the right place at the right time. You can say that about each one of those situations that we mentioned earlier. But before we begin, the most important thing, we definitely need to bring this up to a prayer in God. So please bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your time. We're very excited about this word. I'm so excited just to think about this, but also at the same time scared to death. Please remove me from the situation. There's a skeleton of words up here, but there's words that need to be filled. So right now I pray that you remove me from the situation and speak the words that need to be spoken to those individuals. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you come in and search throughout this sanctuary, and I pray that you administer and tend to those that are in need right now of a fresh word from you and that just need to get a hold of you, Lord. And I just pray that this time is yours, and you just remove me from this and just let me be an empty vessel, and you take care of the rest. In your precious holy name, in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So anyway, moving on. That was supposed to be the very first thing. So anyway, going back to these successful people, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Steve Jobs, the Billy Grahams, what about the effort part of this? How did they actually achieve this? Yes, they had the luck and they had the talent and they were interested in what they were doing, but they had to put forth some effort. They had to set priorities. They also had to sacrifice the non-essentials to help them reach that pinnacle of their success. Of course, I'm sure they studied their craft. Steve Jobs definitely had to study business and computers and whatnot, a lot more than what I know, to be successful. And again, it's not documented. I didn't do the research on it, but typically, and a lot of the times, people that are successful had people before them that were successful. They had mentors to help them. They didn't have to reinvent the wheel. Excuse me about that. So there's that effort principle. So our middle school is actually doing a book study on mindset. It's Dr. Dweck. And it's very fascinating. And I never really thought about it until I started reading this. And I know some of the middle school teachers here are like, yeah, it's a pretty interesting book. And it depends on your side of the fence where if it's a good book or a bad book. I think it's good. Talks about there's two different types of mindset. There's the fixed mindset that, I'm a math teacher, so I have to go back to those examples, I guess. A student might come into my classroom, and this person like, well, my parents were not very good at math, and I'm dumb at math, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm stuck in my ways here. So Dr. Dweck says, though, there's a growth mindset where it's up to your effort, and it's up to how you want to approach things that you can change. You can grow. You can grow in math. You can grow in the Lord. You can become whoever you want to be. Of course, you have to apply other principles, of course, but you're not stuck in your ways. So that's something I wanted to bring up today. And using the secular examples of the Michael Jordans and the Steve Jobs and the Rachel Rays, How can we use those examples to help us with our effort in the Christian walk, as well as using the example set forth by Dr. Dweck? Woo, there goes the arrow. I love this toy. So, of course, whenever we're looking at Christian principles, the number one source that we need to go to is the Bible, of course. And so we can look at, of course, the ultimate foundation is Jesus and what he did in his life. That's number one. But the other, for me personally, whenever I need to get a fresh perspective on things, I love looking at the story of Joseph and his character and how he worked his way up to his success. And so that is really great. But also we can look at other men and women in the Bible and we can ask ourselves, what were their habits? What was their primary focus? Was it destiny or was it free will? And again, that's a whole Bible story and a Bible study, and we can go on down that path if we wanted to, but it's something that we do need to look at. So as a math teacher, I just don't want students just staring off and watching me do the Pythagorean theorem or whatever. I like my class to be actively engaged. And so that's where this comes into play here. I'd really want you to take a moment, and don't worry about whoever's sitting next to you or about me. I have my own issues, of course, or my own thing that I'm dealing with here. But I want you to take a moment and just self-examine. I'm going to give you some time. But what are your priorities in life right now? And if you can, again, it's everybody's a little bit different, but list your top five priorities at the moment. What would they be? No, but it's a self-reflection. Don't need anybody to raise their hands. It's perfectly okay. This is between you and yourself, actually, and it's between you and God, actually. It's definitely not about me. And now, again, you might still be thinking, but you can still think through these couple of slides. Analyze those priorities that you're formulating in your mind right now. And then compare that to how you spend your day. How do you occupy those 24 hours in a day? And of course, we have sleeping and eating and the day-to-day tasks that we have to do. But how do you actually spend your day in comparison to the priorities that you've just set? Do you actually spend the time on the priorities, those top five priorities? And again, that's between you and yourself, and you and God. It has nothing to do with me right now. And here's the thing for me that I'm working through. Do you spend time on things that are not associated with those priorities in your life? There's so many things. We're blessed with a society with technology and so many other things, but at the same time, it's a curse. For example, we're dabbling in the idea of maybe buying a house here in the next couple months. Might work, might not happen, we don't know. We're still seeking God in that. But I've fallen into the trap here in the last couple of weeks of, oh, I got to see what the latest housing market is. I want to see the newest house on the market, see if it's something that we want. Well, I'm going to check the mortgage interest rates. And I keep on doing that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, except we're definitely a few months out of the range of even looking at a house. So it's real easy to lose track of my priorities when certain things get in the way. There's tons of things. There's video games, there's TV shows, there's the internet, of course. There's tons of things that can get in our way of our priorities. And this is where Sarah was talking about, of those hindrances that are in the way sometimes. So that was the confirmation there. So the ultimate question that we have to ask ourselves, does the time you spend on a daily or even a weekly basis line up with the priorities you listed? And not a guilt trip, this is just more of a self-reflection, seeing where you're at. So now we can tie this in with our Christian walk. And if you've been a Christian any amount of time, you'll understand that we have the hills and valleys, and there's time of growth, and there's time of stagnation or even decay. But after a while, there's a body of evidence where you get a comfort zone established, where you feel just about right in your walk with God. And I hope you're understanding what I'm saying, or hopefully I'm expressing that the way I should. So there's a comfort zone that is there. And I'll try to explain this pretty well. But if you see the arrows pointing out, that's our comfort zone. And with your walk with God, anytime you're within that comfort zone, you're okay. And there's the four okays all around there. You're doing all right. And at least for me anyway, I know if I'm growing a little bit, I'm okay as long as I'm staying in my comfort zone. Oh, I'm reading the Bible more, I'm praying more, you know, look at me type of thing. Or sometimes, oh, I forgot to read my Bible today, but I'm still doing okay, so I'm decaying a little bit, but at least I'm staying within my comfort zone with my walk with God, and that's okay. However, and this is where I want to focus on, sometimes we're growing and growing and growing, but now we're extending past the comfort zone. Sometimes it freaks us out. Like, whoa, what's God going to do next? And so what do we typically do sometimes? We want to get right back to that comfort zone. It's really scary sometimes. Conversely, if I'm decaying, I'm gone down the wrong path, and now I'm beyond that comfort zone, there's a wake-up call. And then all of a sudden, I shoot myself back up into the comfort zone. Whew, I'm back to where I need to be. So it's really tough to expand past the comfort zone, especially above that. So then that's part of the principle of this message today. And now we got to go back to this thing here in the Bible. We actually have to look at the Bible today. And it says, be doers of the word. And so this goes back to that effort piece that we were talking about with the question mark, and also with our walk and with our comfort zone. So let's see how this ties in. I'll read it for you nice and hopefully clearly. But it's James 1, 22 through 27, and I use the New King James Version. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It's a lot to digest there. Bottom line is, though, we are called to go out and do stuff. We need to take care of the orphans and the widows. We need to help one another. It says it right there, and it's important. I totally agree with this, of course. It's the Bible, of course. So let's look at this a little bit more. It's way easier said than done. And as a grander scale of our Christian walk, the question I always ask myself, especially when I'm on a downward slide, maybe a valley, why is it so hard to grow in the Christian faith, even when we are doing? I might be, oh, I made it to another prayer meeting, or I'm going to increase my time in the Bible, or I'm going to make sure I attend every church function, or I'm just going to try to grow a little bit. But that's really hard sometimes with life in general. It's just really tough. So, did a little research. And the guy's name is actually A. Brakel. That A is not a typo. He lived in the 1600s and early 1700s. But he wrote this thing called Reasons Why Believers Do Not Grow as Much as They Ought. Pretty eye-opening. So let's take a look at him. First off, Christians sometimes presume upon grace. They just rely totally on grace. I'm saved. I don't have to do anything else. That does not promote any growth. At least that's what my interpretation of what he was saying. Also, another form is sort of like the opposite. They sort of doubt the conversion of their salvation. Yeah, I got saved today, and I goofed up. Oh, please God, save me again. Did I really get saved? And so there's a lot of questioning going on. So that sort of deems that person powerless to grow. They're always worrying about where they're at with their stand with God. Also, another thing, especially people that are perfectionists, they get discouraged by their progress. Oh, I did really well today, and then, oh, I didn't do this well enough. And so it becomes just a very painful process of trying to get better in their walk with the world. The fourth one, they conform themselves to the world. And we as Christians, not just here, not locally, but as a grand scale church, it seems like we're trying to conform more to the world than letting the world conform to us, with a lot of different things going on. Again, that's not what this sermon's about. So I'll just stop right there and not go down that rabbit hole. The fifth one, though, is probably more appropriate to me, laziness. Oh, I don't feel like reading today, or I'm going to do something else today. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to do what I need to do in order to grow. Maybe it's not as high a priority as I first thought it was. I would put down number six, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. There's a lot of distractions in our world today, tons of distractions, and I think it's easy to get off track with those distractions. So again, where does this effort piece fall into play? I'm still going back to this effort piece. Should we focus more on doing stuff and keep doing so we can grow in the faith? Yeah, we're already saved by grace. This is not a, you know, how do I get saved message again, but it's how do we grow? So do I just put forth more effort into going to church more and maybe I'm going to volunteer for the Sunday school class and help them out? The same piece with Abe Brakel was actually quoted in this guy's passage. It was a blog actually in 2011, Clements. And so this effort is really important to look at. He states, these issues matter because on the one hand, some Christians are beating themselves up to be more like Jesus when they first need to realize that in Christ they've already died to sin and been raised with Christ. And on the other hand, some Christians are stalled out in their sanctification for plain lack of effort. They are lazy and they need to be told so. So we have two different spectrums here. And it's really hard, okay, should I put my effort here? Should I put my effort there? And so we need to analyze this a little bit further. So who are you? And this is very simple and it's almost childish. And actually, I think I got this at a Sunday school thing somewhere. And I don't remember it, so I can't quote it or give credit to anything. But one thing I've always remembered, that we're human beings, not human doings. God created us to be beings and just be there to be able to accept God's presence and feel his power and to commune with him. We're not human doings. We're not called to keep doing and doing and doing, although that sounds almost contradictory to what I just said a little bit, but we'll clear things up here in a moment. We're human beings, not human doings. So there's sort of like a paradox about giving your effort. Here, I got to work, work, work. And then I'm just going to give it all to God. Here you go. So we got to figure this out a little bit. So on the one hand, though, and this is where I grew up in a church, cult-like, it could be a cult, just depends. When you place too much emphasis on doing the works and looking at everybody else, what are you doing and what are you doing? You're falling into legalism and trying to get close to God by what you're doing. And so need to look at that effort piece one more time. Let's look at the biblical solution on this. It's where we need to go anyway with all of our issues at hand. The effort should be focused on giving up more of yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit to occupy more of you. It's getting out of the way and letting God get in you and letting the Holy Spirit take over. And then you're able to start moving and doing the things that he wants you to do. And he empowers you. And this goes back to exactly what Sarah was saying. There's a lot of people that are not Christians that do good things a lot of the time. That's not the attraction. The attraction is the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, people are going to be, boom, they're going to be drawn into that. So that's the whole purpose of our effort, and that's where we should be focused on. So again, this goes against our human nature. God does things, again, his ways are way higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. So we just got to go with it, though. He does the opposite. The more we give up, the closer we can get to him. And we should strive to be the vessel for him to use. We need to empty ourselves out so he can fill us up. Nothing really new under the sun. So here's the main key of this whole thing. And again, it's bad color. I should have picked another color on this. But I'll say it loud and clear. Our effort should be in our relationship with God. The whole thing about this is relationship. Trying to think if I really should say this or not. And I will. I need to. The LDS Church, one of their former elders, he passed away a long time ago, he wrote a whole synopsis, this thick, about how foolish it was to have built a relationship with God. It was impossible and foolish, and it's unwarranted for us Christians to do that. So there is a main difference between Christianity and Mormonism. I'm just going to say it as it is. Apologetics right there. So we need that relationship in which Mormonism says no. No relationship is necessary. Just do so you can get to heaven. It's all about the relationship. So instead of focusing about, oh, I got to go to another church service, or I better help that old lady across the street. If you can focus on your relationship with God and chase after him, and just don't worry about anything else, but just chase after him. He will empower you to do his works. That's going to be so much easier than trying to do it on your own. And again, going back to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we won't read those. But again, only the Holy Spirit can produce the fruit in us. So if you're doing it on your own, just noise, it's just actions without love. It's only the Holy Spirit that can produce that fruit anyway. And again, going back to biblical evidence, if you look at the life of Jesus, he relied solely on his relationship with the Father. Yeah, he would perform miracles and he'd be with the disciples, but often he would pull himself away and he would go into that quiet place and he'd cry out to God and pray and just commune. I'm sure he missed him so much being away from him, from heaven being down to here, but he just craved being in the Father's presence. So again, just part of this whole relationship thing that we're talking about today. All right, so that little dude was actually an eye that you're looking at early in the sermon. But honestly, God loves us so much. It's hard to fathom, and it's really hard to understand it sometimes. But we're the apple of his eye, and he loves us so much. Now, here's the question. We're basically ready to wrap up the sermon already. Again, I don't like long sermons. But I want you to be actively engaged, though, too. Are you ready to step out of your comfort zone that we talked about? Are you ready to grow up out past that comfort zone? Scary. I know it's scary for me. Are you ready to allow the Holy Spirit to totally take over and move you where you need to move? I'm going to move left here. I'm going to move right here. I'm going to do a curtsy. Not dancing, though. I don't dance. Yeah. So, this is... What? I know, you should see me in class, though, but that's not important right now. So we're about ready to end the service, but there's a song here. I'm going to be honest with you, it's 9 minutes long. You're like, oh my gosh, we got to listen to a song 9 minutes. It's not about just sitting there. This is your opportunity to talk to God. See what priorities that you have. Do they align with God's priorities in your life? Maybe it's your comfort zone that you need to step out of. Maybe you're the prodigal right now. I was thinking about that when we were singing. Maybe you're the prodigal too. If you remember reading that, when the son's, okay, I'm going to go and meet up with the father. What did the father do? He ran. He ran. And that's what God is willing to do today. If you're just, I got to come back to God. He's not going to say, okay, you got to do this first. He will run and meet you there and he'll embrace you. He loves you so much. So while this song is playing, again, this is not about who's sitting by you, what they're doing, or, okay, well, NASCAR, that race just started 25 minutes ago, so we got to hurry up and get this song over with. Who cares about NASCAR? This is your chance to commune with God. So this song is actually from Jesus Culture. It's Kim Walker. Might not be the music that you're used to listening to. That's okay. The words are the things that you really need to focus on, and the focus should be on God. And again, if you need prayer about your comfort zone or allowing the Holy Spirit to step in, or maybe it's your priorities, we're available. And again, please don't come up here, oh, that poor Miller just up there by himself. No, I got my own things working on too. But I will pray with you, though, if you need prayer. And we can join together and we can pray with you. So again, it's 9 minutes long. You do what you need to do. This is your time to commune with God and just to figure things out.
Are for me, and though redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is a notion, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
Instruments. Without the love of God, it's just like we're just up here just making noise. But the love of God changes us, and we're never the same. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. And right now, if you haven't encountered the love of God, and you would know, because you wouldn't be the same. You would never be the same again. And if you want to encounter the love of God right now, you better just brace yourself, because he's about to just blow in this place.
Yeah.
Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for loving us. I just pray that we get a fresh touch from you, that we get to encounter you in a way like no other. Be with any person in here who is struggling, who hasn't experienced your love in a way like no other. Just minister to their needs right now, Lord, and we just pray that you help us with our priorities. Help us allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and help us be doers of the word, but through only you, as we are empty vessels. Please fill us up as we head out this week to our jobs, to our families, to divine appointments throughout the community. May the Holy Spirit attract those people into your love, Lord. Thank you for this time that we had together. In your precious holy name, in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.